Our sermon today is based on a reading from 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might gain all the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to gain Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might gain those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am within Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by any means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I might become a partner in it. Thank you, God, for calling us to be partners in sharing your good news with others. So I'm taking you on a tour of my desk these next few weeks. I keep lots of inspiring items around me. I have a blotter on which I've taped some photos, including one of a lighthouse. I've never been in a lighthouse, and I'd like to see what it's like. And also the picture on the front of our bulletin. It's called Apache Christ. It was given to me by Father Dave Mercer, who was formerly the pastor of the St. Joseph Mescalero Apache Mission Church. You've all probably passed that church dozens of times while traveling up or down Route 70. It's worthwhile to stop in and visit it. We go there every year on our annual fall leaf tour, and it's a wonderful place of quiet spirituality. The Apache Christ is an 8-foot-tall mural that has been in the sanctuary since the early 1990s. It was created in 1989 by American Franciscan friar Robert Lentz. Brother Lentz is known for his iconography depicting Jesus in different cultural contexts. Before he crafted this painting, he consulted with Mescalero medicine men for cultural guidance. He used sacred spring water from the summit of Sierra Blanca, the sacred mountain of the Mescalero, to mix his paints. I read online that Brother Lentz literally poured all of himself into that painting. He sprinkled himself with gold dust and stopped showering while working on it so his body oils would help adhere the gold onto the canvas. This icon celebrates the beauty of the culture of the Mescalero Apache of New Mexico, our neighbors. Pull out your bulletin and look at some of the features of the painting. Christ is depicted as a Mescalero holy man greeting the sun from atop Sierra Blanca. He is dressed traditionally, wearing moccasins, a breechcloth, and a warrior shirt. He holds a deer hoof rattle in his right hand. A basket at his feet holds sacred items such as an eagle feather, a grass brush, and bags of tobacco and cattail pollen. Behind him flies an eagle, the guide who first led the Mescalero Apache to their promised land here in New Mexico. The eagle is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, a different but just as powerful take on the usual dove. The inscription at the bottom of the icon is Apache for giver of life, one of their names for God. The letters in Christ's halo are the Greek version of that name. The Greek letters in the upper corners are abbreviations for Jesus Christ. And look at his left hand. The nail scar on his left hand is filled by the sacred Zia symbol. Remember, we looked at the Zia symbol last year. Remember, the four arms around the never-ending circle of the sun depict the four times of the day, morning, noon, evening, and night, the four seasons of the year, the four stages of life, childhood, youth, middle age, and old age, and the four directions. When the mural was installed, it received a traditional blessing with cattail pollen from Mescalero medicine men. This icon became the center of a controversy a couple of years ago. After Father Dave retired, another priest came in and promptly removed the beloved picture from the church's sanctuary. He said it was pagan imagery and unapologetically declared that the members of the St. Joseph Mescalero Apache Mission Church cannot be both Catholic and Apache. Also removed were baskets and ceramic chalices that were used during communion. These were gifts from the Pueblo community. Of course, this removal caused an uproar. Brother Lentz's intention was to show that people could be Apache and Catholic, and both completely. To the Apache, their history is strikingly similar to that of the ancient Jews. The Mescalero could relate to the Israelites. They were enslaved to produce wealth for Spain and Mexico, just as the ancient Israelites had to labor to build supply cities for the Egyptian pharaohs. Colonists called the Mescalero bloodthirsty savages and did their best to destroy them. Many Apache were carried off by the United States Army to the swamps of Florida and Alabama as prisoners of war, exiled for the crime of defending their land from invaders who respected neither their culture nor their faith. The Apache who fought slavery and defended their land are religious heroes and prophets to their people, and they count Jesus among their prophets and heroes. It was right and proper for them to portray Jesus in the style of their culture. It was not paganistic or blasphemous to them. They honored Jesus as one of us. Thankfully, the portrait was soon returned to its rightful place, and the priest who took it down was reassigned. I tell you, this depiction of Jesus is probably a way lot closer to what Jesus actually looked like than the famous picture called Head of Christ by Warner Salmon. You've seen that picture. We have it somewhere here in our church ourselves. It's a picture of Jesus gazing thoughtfully into space. He has long, wavy, brownish, blondish hair and a beard and white skin. Jesus was a Middle Eastern man. He looked like the people around him. He had dark hair and dark skin. He was not Caucasian. As the Isaiah scripture stresses, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. There was nothing about him that made him stand out in a crowd, which he would have if he was a blonde-haired, fair-skinned man in a land of dark-haired, dark-skinned people. But in John 5:13, after Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, he slipped away from the crowd unnoticed. He blended in. He looked like everyone else. In Luke 4, people in the synagogue got angry at Jesus when he said, "No prophet is accepted in his own hometown." They drove him out of town and took him to a hill to throw him off a cliff, but Jesus walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Again, he blended in with everyone else, and no one was running around yelling, "Look for that blonde-haired guy, that's Jesus, grab him." We do not know exactly what Jesus looked like, and that's okay. But why shouldn't he be presented to the Mescalero as a Mescalero holy man? Solomon painted a Jesus he believed majority people would relate to and embrace because he looked like them. It was comforting to them to think of Christ as one of us, able to understand their needs, their hopes, their fears, their past, because he looked like them. Brother Lentz painted a Jesus he knew the Mescalero would relate to and embrace because he looked like them. It was comforting to them to think of Christ as one of us, able to understand their needs, their hopes, their fears, their past, because he looked like them. The Apostle Paul wrote that he himself became all things to all people in order to share the gospel. Not by becoming, as we might imagine, a chameleon like the character Leonard Zelig in the Woody Allen movie Zelig. Zelig was a nondescript man who was able to transform his appearance to that of the people around him, taking on their characteristics and the way they looked so he could be more like them. Paul sought to win people to Jesus Christ by submitting himself to them and serving them, by being sensitive to and meeting their needs and identifying with them. Paul tried to find common ground with the people he encountered. He tried to get to know them and their wants and needs and hopes and fears. His reasoning was if he related to them in the important aspects of their lives, they would become comfortable with him and more open to listening to his story. Sometimes Paul did things that he knew were no longer necessary so as not to alienate people, like having his friend Timothy circumcised to appease the suspicious and disarmed grumblers who didn't think Timothy, who had a Greek father, should be allowed in the temple in Jerusalem. Paul set a wonderful example for us how to reach out to people who don't know the Lord. He would never go up to someone and tell them their beliefs were wrong and they were headed to hell. He instead tried to reach them with love and openness and empathy, not by trickery or force or imitation or berating. He listened to them and he learned from them. And eventually he shared not that their way was wrong, but that he wanted to show them a more excellent way. He understood Jewish people relied on their rituals and sacrifices. After all, he himself was a Jew. He knew what it was like to be under the yoke of the law. But since he had encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, he had been freed from that yoke. He had come to learn that there was now a better way to live and worship God and be. Yes, the rituals were important once, all those sacrifices to stay on God's good side. But now that Christ had come, he had transcended and transformed the old ways. We didn't need the sacrifices anymore. Christ was the only once-for-all sacrifice we needed. When Paul spoke to people either under the law, such as the Pharisees who followed the Mosaic law precisely, or outside the law, such as Gentiles, he acknowledged their traditions and respected that they mattered to these people, but he wanted to show them how Christ had changed everything for the better for everyone, including him, this formerly hostile man who chased down believers and tried to arrest them. Now Paul worked to meet people who differed from him on their own terms, to connect with them and guide them to the fullness of life in Christ that he had found. He sought to understand them, to try to see the world through their eyes. He would never be belligerent and combative, daring people to prove me wrong. Instead, he would be closer to quoting the song we just heard, Pass It On. My wish for you, my friend, is the happiness that I found. The Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. He treated everyone as if they matter to him and to God, because they do. We're grateful for Paul's example of how to speak the truth in love with grace and humility. And if the Lord of love has come to our neighbors just as a medicine man with sacred symbols all around him, well, that's cause for us to rejoice. That's cause for us to say, yes, you understand the concept of a medicine man, a creator, a healer, shadowed and sheltered by the Holy Spirit in the form of an eagle. Yes, that's the Lord we know too. Let's follow him together and become partners in the gospel, the good news that God's love encompasses all of us, enlightens all of us, and embraces all of us, all of us. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for loving all of us, wherever we're at right now, for reaching us with compassion and conviction. Thank you for calling us to be partners in the gospel, the good news of the love of Christ that redeems us, readies us, and saves us to serve you. Amen.